Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We are coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. On this hump day, July 25th, 2018, we are creeping closer and closer to the end of the month. I really hope you guys have been having a great summer and a great week this week. Well, a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. We will put a bow and give final thoughts on the conversation that really dominated Tuesday's Current Sports, that being the news that former Michigan State football linebacker John Reschke, no longer being a former Michigan State University linebacker, seeing as though the team has forgiven John Reschke, and courtesy of a unanimous vote, Reschke is still on the Michigan State football roster. So that news really dominated the show, and it wasn't until we got off the airwaves when it was reported by Detroit Free Press Michigan State sports writer Chris Solari that we found out the details of what exactly happened with John Reschke and that racially insensitive remark back in January of 2017 that landed him getting kicked off the team by head coach Mark D'Antonio. So we now know the details of what went down. I'm going to bring that story to you in just a moment, courtesy of our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, and I'm going to have a reaction to it. So, again, we'll put a bow on the whole John Reschke back on the MSU football roster conversation. Also, I'm going to play you a snippet from the Kari Willis speech yesterday at Big Ten Media Days out in Chicago. It was very moving. It was very, I guess you can say, inspirational, because Kari Willis basically challenged the players in the Big Ten Conference and really any athlete out there who has a major platform as a college player to go back into your communities and make a change and make an impact. So, Kari Willis, salute to you, my friend. We're going to talk about your speech in just a moment as well. Also, have you seen this? This is a really cool piece that was put together by Bleacher Report. They're calling it Bleacher Report Power 50, 2018's most influential people in sports culture. If you have not seen this piece, it's very well done. If you go to Bleacher Report's website, if you go to power50.bleacherreport.com, you can check out this piece. There's moving graphics, and they've actually broken the Power 50 up into five different categories, 10 rankings per category, right? And NPR's own Rachel Martin got a chance to talk with Bleacher Report's deputy managing editor, Adina Andrews, about the website's picks for the most influential people in sports culture. And we're going to kind of look at the list and just have a back and forth debate about it. It's very cool stuff, though, because I think, you know, you see these rankings come out in sports all the time, right? The top 10 this, the top 10 that, the top 100 this, the top 100 that. But the way Bleacher Report did this is a bit different than any other sports rankings I've seen, all right? So we'll bring that piece to you. And then on the back end of the show, we'll tell you why Serena Williams has a gripe with the world of tennis. We'll do all of that and more while, of course, inviting you to be a part of the conversation. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and watch the live stream there. And you can tweet us. Two ways to do so. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. And before I push forward, I don't think I've announced this here on the show just yet, but it's a bit of a sad week here on Current Sports because this is how it goes. My man behind the glass, Ian Hawley, engineer throughout the summer for us here at WKAR. And also, I mean, dating back to like the beginning of this year, right? January, right,
yes, sir.
Ian?
Yes, sir.
You will be leaving us, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll
Sadly.
Be leaving us. This is your final week here on the show. Your final broadcast will be Friday. So I wanted to let that be known to our listeners out there in case they wanted to call in and serenade you with words of appreciation for your hard work here at WKAR. But how's that feel? It feels a bit weird, right?
Yeah, it's bittersweet. I mean, I have the opportunity to move on to a full-time position from here, but I will be going back home for a little while in the meantime. So I get to spend a little time with my family, but also sad to be leaving the show. I've had a lot of fun here over the past 6 or 7 months. And we've gotten a lot of opportunities to cover some really great events, and I couldn't be more happy with the time that I've spent here.
Definitely. You've done a great job as well, filling some pretty big shoes.
Thank you.
With those who have come before you in that very chair behind the glass, and of course, Isaac Constance. Prior to Isaac, Isaac had some big shoes to fill when Alex Sharg left us. So I've had the wonderful opportunity of having some fantastic engineers over the years throughout my 5 years here at WKAR, and we certainly wish you well, my man. I'll save my words for Friday, but I just wanted to let that be known to our listeners because I have not, you know, released that news just yet. So if you want to call in and wish Ian Hawley some great words of encouragement as he goes on and turns the chapter from here at WKAR, please do so. All right, but hey, you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, we've got some breaking news that occurred about an hour ago. Former Michigan State University team doctor Larry Nassar told his attorneys that he was attacked in federal prison within a few hours of being placed in the general population. That's according to a motion that Nassar filed yesterday in Ingham County Circuit Court. Now, his attorneys claim the attack and the attempted attack of Nassar by the father of three of his victims during his Eaton County sentencing to Judge Rosemarie Aquilina's, quote, efforts to demonize Dr. Nassar in front of the entire world, end quote. Now, Nassar, who is serving a 60-year federal prison sentence on three child pornography charges and was sentenced to decades more in state prison on 10 sexual assault charges, filed two motions yesterday stating that he wants to be resentenced on his Ingham County sexual assault charges. And he wants the judge, who said she signed his, quote, death warrant in Judge Rosemarie Aquilina, to be disqualified from the case. Wow. The gusto from Larry Nassar, right? Nassar is currently being housed at a Tucson, Arizona prison. All right. Well, we've got some sound bites here commenting on our lead story from Tuesday's Current Sports. Our lead story, of course, was The story centered on Michigan State University linebacker John Reschke being reinstated with the team via a unanimous vote from the players that, you know, Reschke could stay on the roster. Now, he'll be doing so without a scholarship, but he's still an MSU football player, despite the fact that, you know, it was revealed yesterday afternoon the details of that racially insensitive remark. It came out that John Reschke actually sending in a text message to a teammate. He used the N-word in that text. That broke again yesterday afternoon. So, of course, you guys know Big Ten Media Day is going on out in Chicago these last couple of days. We talked about Mark Antonio and his comments on the whole John Reschke situation, basically leaving it in the hands of his players to vote and make a decision here. Also, out there in Big Ten Media Days, quarterback Brian Lewerke, of course, running back L.J. Scott, and, of course, defensive specialist Kari Willis. Also, all three representing Michigan State out there. And I want to play first a bite coming from L.J. Scott on the team's process in forgiving Reschke and letting Reschke back on the team.
First of all, I would just want to say John Reschke is a great guy. You know, I hung with him. I hang with him now. I hung with him, you know, since I got here. He's a great guy on the field. He's a great guy off the field. He made a mistake. He didn't need a moment. I didn't take, you know, any offense to him. We all know John Reschke. You know, people make mistakes, and I believe second chances are always there. And so we had a team vote. We had a team vote. And, you know, everybody voted yes. You know,
it was unanimous.
Yeah, it was unanimous vote. And then the second half of the vote, it was just all black people. So the guys who don't know him as a freshman came in, and they were just like, look, if he can help this team, if he's a good player, well, you know what I'm saying? I don't have a problem with it. But the guys who do know him, I said yes right off the bat. He's a great guy, man. He's a great guy. I hang with John, and John, man, I was happy as hell that he came back. You know, he made a mistake. You know, second chances are always there. He's going to be a great football player, and he'll help to help this team tremendously.
That was a very forgiving L.J. Scott. I don't know how many times I counted. He's a great guy in that soundbite. He's a great guy. He's a great guy. A great guy who just happened to use the N-word. Okay. Kari Willis on forgiving John Reschke. Here's Kari Willis.
Yeah, I didn't really know if he had said that or not at the same time. But at the same point, I did understand that people are human and people make mistakes. And I felt that John was a person that's worthy of forgiveness. It was just a matter of the process that Coach D put him through. Was he going to be able to make it? And I feel like everything is going well with that process so far. We've embraced him with open arms. And he's a great player, great person. Looking forward to continue to work on personal talks. He addressed the team. He did everything he was supposed to do. And I feel like when you make a mistake, as long as you go back, fix it, correct it, go to those that you may have hurt or offended. And I feel like he's done that.
Would you handle it differently if he was just a classmate, not a teammate? Would you still feel the same way?
Would I forgive him if he was just a classmate?
Yeah,
I would forgive him regardless. I mean, I'm a big person of forgiveness. Jesus told me to forgive, but he won't forgive me, so I definitely would forgive him.
Yeah, we'll have more on that in just a moment. All right, Detroit Cass Tech 4-star running back Jaron Mangum announced on Twitter yesterday that he plans to attend and play football at Colorado, picking the Buffaloes over Michigan State, Oregon, Tennessee, and several other schools. This is what Mangum told the Detroit News. Quote, the coaching staff at Colorado showed me so much love, and they told me how they were going to utilize me, exactly what I was going to do. They told me I could go in there and start as a freshman, and that's always important. It just feels like home. They said I'd be a running back, and they'd be used to me in the passing game, out of the slot. So really an all-purpose back. Now, Mangum said it was difficult to say no to such coaches, such as Michigan State's Mark Antonio. He went on to say, quote, it was very difficult, a very hard decision since I had so many great schools. I had over 50 offers, 57 to be exact, and everything was so crazy. There were so many great universities, but I just felt Colorado was the best fit for me. All right, when Le'Veon Bell turned down the Pittsburgh Steelers offer, people thought the former Spartan football player was really out of his mind, including me. Now, after seeing Todd Gurley cash in on his contract, Bell wants people to know that he, too, deserves to secure the bag. He tweeted, quote, LOL, and people thought I was tripping, question mark, dot, dot, dot. Then he went on to tweet, retweet, the story of Todd Gurley finalizing that agreement on a four-year extension worth $60 million that includes $45 million guaranteed. He retweeted that with the comment up top, yeah, Todd, and he gave like two fists, like, yeah, brother, go on and get your money, basically. All right, so I have more on Le'Veon in just a moment as well. All right, and the bad news just keeps on rolling in for the Detroit Lions in off-season training camp. For the second straight year, Iggy Ziggianza will miss the Detroit Lions training camp with an injured knee. He was placed on the physically unable to perform list. The Lions also announced yesterday that they have placed fullback Nick Badwin on injured reserve with a knee injury, signed linebacker Freddie Bishop, and put wide receiver Andy Jones on the physically unable to perform list as well. Now, Ziggy, who is back with the Lions on the franchise tag, has not played a full 16 games since the 2015 season. Speaking of the Detroit Lions, hey fans, single game tickets for the 2018 Lions preseason and regular season games at Ford Field have now gone on sale as of, 10 a.m. this morning. Now, tickets are available exclusively at DetroitLions.com/tickets, or you can give them a call. So go out and get your tickets, fans. Hopefully the Lions don't break your heart this season, right? All right. And more Lions news. You know you've made it when your hometown recognizes your accomplishments and puts your name on a sign to commemorate it. In New York, Cheryl, New York, the hometown of first-year Lions coach Matt Patricia, recently commissioned a sign to honor its most famous son that hangs at one of five main entry points to the city. The unmistakable portrait of Patricia with a scraggly beard, pencil behind his ear, and backwards baseball cap was unveiled last week. City manager Brandon Lovett said this about the Lions head coach. Quote, we are one of 32 towns, cities, villages in the world that can lay claim to being the hometown of an NFL coach, the largest and most popular sporting league. Matt's been, in our eyes, a point of pride for this community for a lot of years, and we felt it necessary. The city commission, we're governed by a city commission, a five-member board, the commission, and obviously the city administration felt strongly, very strongly, to recognize him and his accomplishments. All right, and I know I sound like a broken record when I say this, but yesterday's game was another example of the struggles that the Tigers' starting pitchers face and the lack of offense to compensate those struggles as they lost to last place in the AL Central, Kansas City Royals, 5-4. Jay Zim, Jordan Zimmerman, only was able to get through five innings as he gave up four earned runs at Kauffman Stadium. It was a long time coming for Victor Martinez, who hit his first homer since May 19th, spanning 188 plate appearances. It was a 3-1 big fly that kept the Tigers alive, but it was not enough as they fell to the Royals. Detroit is now 43-60 on the season, third in the AL Central, and Serena Williams. Now, Serena and Venus, the two tennis superstar sisters, have had illustrious sporting careers that have dealt with many forms of racial discrimination, according to them, even when they were 16. Serena Williams thinks this recent drug test is no different. She complained on social media that it's, quote, test Serena, end quote, time again, as she once more criticized the frequency with which she is selected for anti-doping test. The 23-time Grand Slam champ took to Twitter on Tuesday night after she received another visit from a tester. She tweeted this, quote, and it's that time of the day to get randomly drug tested and only test Serena. Out of all of the players, it's been proven I'm the one getting tested the most. Discrimination? I think so. At least I'll be keeping the sport clean. Hashtag stay positive. Then she goes on to tweet, but I'm ready to do whatever it takes to have a clean sport So bring it on. I'm excited. I sense the sarcasm, Serena, in that second tweet. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
My mother always made a point to us that faith was very important. She taught us to trust God. She taught us to fear God, to honor God. She taught us to trust in His divine plan. She taught us to trust in ourselves, those around us, and in Him. And by doing that, He'll be able to open doors for us and He'll help us along our journey. Although my father, he did install those same qualities into us. He made sure that we went out and did things in the community. He made sure we were involved in activities. I personally think it was his way of kicking us out the house, but he definitely made sure that we did that. One of those things for me was college football. Every Saturday, my brothers and I, after we got done fighting for breakfast, we would huddle around the TV and we would go watch. We would watch Braxton Miller. We would watch Darquez Denard, Denard Robinson, Kirk Cousins, and all the great players that came before us in this conference. And what that inspired for me was a sense of just a dream. It inspired me to dream that maybe one day that I could partake in those activities. Thankfully, I was able to. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, He said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Instead, they put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And that sometimes can be a challenge, especially growing up in society today as student athletes. We're faced with the peer pressure we're faced with social media. We're faced with being an example out in public, representing ourselves the right way. We're faced with parties and all these different peer pressure outlets to try to get, if we're not true to ourselves, sometimes it'll get the best of us. Or like Coach D said, if we're not humble, we will be humble. So I challenge all the other student athletes here today, go back to our communities. Let's make a difference. Let's continue to let our light shine. There's an old saying that my father used to use. He's still using it to this day. And that saying is, if you blow my candle out, that won't make your candle shine any brighter. Let's go back. Let's light these candles in these communities. Let's impart what we've learned on our college campuses as far as how to dress, as far as how to talk to people with respect, as far as how to treat women, as far as how to, as far as how to conversate and communicate with people that are not like us. People that are not from the same areas that we're from. I feel that the rest of the 40-plus players that are here, we have that opportunity. You're chosen for a reason. You all are special. It's been a privilege speaking to you. It's been a privilege competing with you. And I hope that we can all make our communities better by going back and giving back. Thank you very much. God bless you. Go Green.
My dream is to be free. My dream is to be. My dream is to be. My dream is to be free.
In search of brighter days, I ride through the maze of the madness. Struggle is my address where pain and crack lives. Gunshots coming from sounds of blackness. Given this game with no time to practice. Born on the blacklist. Told I'm below average. A life with no cabbage. That's no money if you're from where I'm from. Funny, I just want some of your son. Dark clouds seem to follow me. Alcohol that my pop swallowed.
Oh, that's one of my favorite hip-hop joints right there. Shout out to Common. I Have Got a Dream, and that was produced by Will.i.am. Love that joint, and a fitting joint to play alongside the speech of Kari Willis at the Big Ten kickoff luncheon on Tuesday out in Chicago, as Willis spoke on behalf of the conference's players. And, you know, his roughly 8-minute speech, you heard about 2 minutes of it just then, really spoke on players being a light in the community and giving back to the community in which you've come from, and just being a good person, being an upstanding member of society. And when he was finished, I saw the video posted on the Michigan State Athletics website. I watched the entire speech. this morning, and I saw the video, and he got a standing ovation. And to his left, you had multiple Big Ten coaches sitting there, standing up, clapping for Kari Willis. And it's so interesting because he was still mic'd up by MSU Athletics as he walked off the podium. And you could hear all these coaches saying, you know, to Kari as he came off stage, man, incredible. You knocked that out of the park. Job well done. You talk about inspirational stuff. If you got a moment today and you need just a kick of inspiration and want to smile, and just if your mood is crappy, just go to the MSU Athletics website and watch that 8-minute speech from Kari Willis. That is what being a student athlete is all about. And Willis talked about growing up in Jackson, Michigan, which is about a 35-minute drive from Lansing, and growing up with, you know, 10 siblings, you know, and he talked about the strength of his parents and how his parents taught him at a young age to fear the man upstairs and to go about every day on this earth with faith and with confidence. Just an amazing speech. And, you know, when it was announced that Kari Willis would be the speaker on behalf of the conference's players at the Big Ten kickoff luncheon, a lot of Spartan fans immediately thought about the speech from Kirk Cousins when Kirk Cousins was a player, a quarterback for Mark D'Antonio's Michigan State football team, and Kirk knocked it out the park. And I really think that Kari Willis certainly lived up to the speech that Cousins gave. But that's what you want to see out of a student athlete, right? You know, he admitted before he began speaking that, you know, when Mark D'Antonio came to him and said that, yeah, you're going to be the guy to speak at the Big Ten kickoff luncheon, you know, he admitted that, man, I'm a bit nervous here. And he kind of had to comb through what kind of message that he wanted to deliver. And the message that he came upon, you know, going, you know, for players going back into the community and making an impact in the community where you are from, came about, you know, where, you know, he kind of flashed back to the 3-9 football season. And, you know, he noted how Mark D'Antonio and the Michigan State football staff wanted the program to just kind of have a moment of reflection. And on the heels of last year, you know, they sat down with the team and basically said, okay, let's sit down and talk about what got us the success that we had previous, that we had prior to the 3-9 year. You know, what got us the Big Ten championship? What got us the Rose Bowl? What got us the college football playoff appearance? And they went to their core values and they had to reassess things. And that got him to reflect on, you know, just kind of the bigger picture, you know, beyond the wins and losses and the X's and O's. But, yeah, a standing ovation. And Kari Willis, I think, you know, as I said on Monday's Current Sports, I think that Kari Willis, along with Brian Lewerke and Joe Bocci, will be the three captains for this upcoming MSU football year. But, again, what do I know, right? Last year I thought that Gerald Holmes was going to be one of the captains for Michigan State football. But I think it's a consensus that Kari Willis will be one of those leaders for this team this upcoming year. I mean, this dude just represented all of the players from the Big Ten Conference. But remarkable stuff. So I wanted to start off by saluting Kari Willis, who, again, walked in the footsteps of three-time Spartan captain Kirk Cousins, who delivered the keynote address on behalf of the players back in 2011. Hard to believe it's been that long ago now. But, yeah, that was back in 2011 for Kirk Cousins. Now, I'll make a transition from that to just final thoughts on this whole conversation concerning John Reschke being reinstated as a Michigan State football player for the Spartan football team. I just want to say this about it. You heard my thoughts yesterday, and I noted how, you know, I believe in second chances. I am a man who believes in second chances, and I'm a man who believes that time does heal wounds. But there are some wounds that, when given time, will still leave scars. And when you have a player in John Reschke, and again, the details of this story came to light after we said goodbye to you all on Tuesday's Current Sports. It was reported by Chris Solari, who actually got a screenshot. I don't know how he got a screenshot of this text, but he got a screenshot of the text message. And I didn't know if it was a text message or whether or not, you know, John Reschke popped off at the mouth and said this, actually. But now we know that it was a text message that John Reschke said to a player, and he used the N-word. This is what the screenshot read. Again, this is the FCC compliant version of the text message. Quote, "Honestly, don't know who for sure, but probably," and then he said the name of the teammate that he, I guess, was speculating that had certain relations with his then girlfriend. So again, honestly, don't know who for sure, but probably teammate's name redacted, or another bleeping N-word with no morals, end quote. That is what Reschke wrote in an undated text message obtained by Chris Solari and the Detroit Free Press. And, you know, and again, I didn't note this on Tuesday's Current Sports because I don't like speculating when it comes to a story of this kind of seriousness. But I must say I had the thought away from the mic that, okay, what word would infuriate black players, a word that is racially insensitive? Well, immediately the N-word comes to mind, right? So I kind of guessed. I think many of you kind of put two and two together and guessed that Reschke had used that word. And it's quite shocking how forgiving this Michigan State football team is, because, you know, if I got to be real with you guys, if I'm a player on the Michigan State football team and I hear news and I see a screenshot like that from a white teammate of mine using the N-word, I would probably, because I'm a forgiving man and I'm a man of faith, I would forgive him. Not in the moment, not at all. I would be enraged in the moment. But again, I being a man of faith, I would eventually come to the conclusion of forgiving John Reschke. But I don't know if I could be a teammate of his. I highly doubt that. So the fact that a unanimous vote revealed that the Michigan State players have forgiven and have accepted John Reschke as a member of the 2018 Spartans, that was very surprising. And there were two votes that took place, two votes that were unanimous, one vote taken by the entire team, and the other vote, as you heard LJ Scott note, the other vote was taken by just the black players on the team. And again, can we play this one more time? And I want to play LJ Scott's response to being asked what happened in forgiving John Reschke amongst the MSU football players. I want to play this one more time. We played it during the headliners. I think it's fitting that we play it one more time. Here it is.
First of all, I would just want to say John Reschke is a great guy. You know, I'm hung with him now. I've hung with him, you know, since I got here professional. He's a great guy on the field. He's a great guy on the field. He made a mistake. He didn't hit a moment. I didn't take, you know, any offense to him. We all know John Reschke. You know, people make mistakes, and I believe second chances are always there. And so we had a team vote. We had a team vote. And, you know, everybody vote yes. You know,
it was unanimous.
Yeah, it was unanimous vote. And then the second half of the vote, it was just all black people. So the guys who don't own him as a freshman came in, and they were just like, look, if you can help this team, if he's a good player, well, you know what I'm saying? I don't have a problem with it. But the guys who do know him, I said yes right off the bat. He's a great guy, man. He's a great guy. I hang with John, and I, you know, John,
Man, I was happy. I was happy to know that he came back. You know, he made a mistake. You know, second chances are always good. He's going to be a great football player, and he'll help his team tremendously.
Again, L.J. Scott, running back for Michigan State football, addressing John Reschke's reinstatement with the Michigan State football team. Ian Hawley, I counted four times where he know that John Reschke is a great guy, despite using the N-word to describe a teammate in a text message. Look, I'll say this. I would have eventually come to the conclusion of forgiving John Reschke, but again, I'm a firm believer in consequences, especially for something as serious as using a word that is used to demean an entire race. So, with that being said, I also have to say this. I think that Mark D'Antonio handled this the right way. I think that Mark D'Antonio, initially kicking John Reschke off the team was the right move. And the fact that Mark D'Antonio has now brought John Reschke back, I mean, he said on the podium yesterday morning when asked the question, he said he left it in the hands of the players. Some players came to him and said, look, man, we forgive John Reschke. So if you have your players coming to you and saying this, that, okay, you know, we forgive John Reschke, and you put him through a program, I forget the name of the program, but D'Antonio and the coaching staff put him through a program. He went through the program. After going through the program, they then took a vote. And it's important to note, just like Jack Kerwin noted yesterday, and I think this is an important component to this as well, John Reschke would not have a scholarship as well. So there's some kind of punishment being formed here from MSU football. It's not like, okay, you said the N-word. Well, we forgive you now. John, come on a part of the team. Here's your scholarship back, by the way. There's some kind of punishment still being enacted here for John Reschke. And the players want him on the team. That's the most remarkable part of this whole conversation. The players want John Reschke to wear a green and white jersey. The black players on the team want John Reschke, despite using a word that is probably the ugliest word in American history, the N-word. Despite John using that word, the black players still said, hey, John, we forgive you. Let's keep it pushing. D'Antonio put it in the hands of his players, like I thought he should have done. They voted, not once but twice, and that second vote was with the black players. And they said, we want him to be a part of the team. I can't argue with that. But I will say this. I have a hard time in believing that there are maybe one or two players on this MSU football team that still in the back of their mind are saying, dude, you may be racist. Because anybody who uses that word, when you say something that insults a culture and race of people, like the N-word, you know, and me being black myself, I mean, we have this conversation all the time in the African-American community. I don't know how you can take the field as a black teammate of his and fully trust that he has your back. I don't know. And, you know, I saw an interesting comment on our Facebook page about this yesterday as well, Ian. The thought also crossed my mind that, okay, if this was a black athlete who made a racially insensitive comment about another race of people, would that black athlete would have given been given a second chance? There's the dynamic of this whole black and white conversation as well, right? If, you know, we have the conversation all the time in the black community that look, you know, when we enter in positions of success, whether it be athletics, whether it be in the professional realm, whatever said career, we know that we are not the majority. And we know that if we mess up, it's one strike and out for us. It is not three strikes and out, especially if we messed up to this kind of magnitude. The leash is much shorter for African-Americans out here. So I can't deny, and one of our listeners commented, I'm struggling to bring up the comment here, but one of our listeners commented and said, would this be the same outcome if John Reschke was a black athlete and not a white athlete? Something to think about. I'm just saying, something to think about. But at the end of the day, If the players feel like John Reschke is going to be a value to this team, it is not going to cause a divide in the locker room, hard to argue with their decision. Right, Ian?
I agree. I'm a big fan of the way Mark D'Antonio handled this, as I said on yesterday's show. And there's still some degree to which the players have a say in where John Reschke goes from here. I mean, Mark D'Antonio mentioned that he didn't fully participate in team camps. He only went to the workouts, and the players had to approve that. And now the players still have more steps to take as far as letting him back onto the field with them in the fall. So he's still being evaluated heavily by the other members of his team and the coaching staff, which I think is good to have him go through not just one, but multiple steps to getting back on the field. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that if the roles were reversed and John Reschke was black, that the white players would show him the same level of forgiveness that the black players have shown him now. I think it speaks to the temperament right now in Michigan State's program and the culture that Mark D'Antonio has built with always trying to be there for your teammates, you know, despite any wrongs that they may have done to you. And I got to say, I really respect the players who were offended by this and still let him back on the team. I mean, that's trying to be much bigger than yourself and trying to help the team out if you can. So I'm a big fan all around of how this was handled by both the players and the coaches.
I finally found the exchange. It came actually on my Facebook page when I posted my reaction to the John Reschke story. It comes from two of our listeners, Jeff and Aileen. Jeff tagged me and said, "Hey, Al, people deserve second chances. Professional sports prove that people get third through 15 second chances. It's not acceptable what he wrote, and young people make poor choices at times and or say or text things they wish they had not done. I am not defending him, but I am saying that we all have done or one or more. We all have done one or more things that we wish we had not done, said, etc." And I almost commented and said, "Look, Jeff, yeah, we all make mistakes, but when a mistake is blatant, using a blatant racist word, there's levels to mistakes, right?" But anyway, Aileen commented back at Jeff and said, "People deserve to suffer consequences for their racist actions. Why are we comfortable with people getting second chances when it comes to racism?" Jeff comments back to Aileen and says, "It's a teachable moment. As an educator, I want to take a negative and make it a moment to teach, to educate, to show him, her, or others that it was not right. I want to see something positive come out of it." And then Aileen hits him back with, "Sure, I don't mind the teachable moment being you don't get to play football anymore. And you expect to be forgiven as many times you are forgiven because you are white." That's the comment that Aileen brought up. So interesting dialogue that is touching on a lot of different emotions here in East Lansing. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We'll hit our first break. When we come back, we will shift gears to a much, much lighter topic, discussing Bleacher Report's most influential people in sports culture. We'll bring this NPR piece to you, then we'll have dialogue after. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. We got some comments coming in via our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News right now. Ben says, "There is something different about this Michigan State football team, and I feel that something very special is going to happen this season that we are not expecting to happen." So Ben is trying to put on his prophetic cap right now and try and look in the future for the 2018 team. And a lot of people feel very positive about this upcoming year, including myself. I really think that, you know, this team has a lot of talent on both sides of the football and really is going to do some special things. This comment coming courtesy of Johnny. Johnny weighs in and says, So I don't know the whole story, but using the N-word is disrespectful enough. And, okay, my browser just refreshed. Hold on, it's coming back up. All right, quote. So I don't know the whole story, but using the N-word is disrespectful enough. But the level of disrespect depends on the context in which it was used. Like I said, it's disrespectful either way, and he definitely deserved to be punished for it. But if the teammates forgive him, what can you say? Could cause more problems down the line, though. All right, and again, you can weigh in on social media, just like Johnny and Ben are doing right now, at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. So when I say this in, when I say the most influential figures in sports culture, I'm curious for you, Ian Hawley, which names come to mind? When I say that, the most influential people in sports culture, just give me three names off the top of your dome.
Probably LeBron James, currently. Chris Paul and Roger Goodell.
Interesting. Okay, and you went with two NBA players. Just mm-hmm. Why Chris Paul? I'm curious. Why Chris Paul?
He's the face of the Players Association.
Okay.
LeBron James is the most popular basketball player in the world.
Okay.
And Roger Goodell is the guy who constantly makes headlines for the NFL for all the wrong reasons.
Very good points.
America's most popular sport.
Yeah, very good points.
And least popular man.
Right, that's very true. Very true. Well, I'll tell you what, Bleacher Report has a different take on this. Rachel Martin talks to Bleacher Report's deputy managing editor, Adina Andrews, about the website's picks for the most influential people in sports culture.
Okay, sports icons have always been a central part of our popular culture. Social media has obviously amplified the ways that these athletes can reach out to us, their fans. The world of sports is becoming a part of everyday life, but it is more than just having millions of followers on Instagram. What does their influence look like exactly? Adina Andrews is here to explain that for us. She is the deputy managing editor of the website Bleacher Report, and she, along with a group of reporters, put together a list of the 50 most influential people in sports. Adina, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
All right. Top pick. Who is the most influential person in sports right now?
So just like you said, influence, it varies across the board. So we broke it down into five categories. We've got the level up category, which is about on-field performance. That's Cristiano Ronaldo. We have the speak up category, which is people speaking in the political climate. Allie Raisman is the number one there. We've got shake it up. We've got Meek Mill, who's coming in at number one there. Donovan Mitchell in our glow up category. And then last but not least, Jimmy Garoppolo, one of the highest paid NFL players. He's in our level up category also.
Who got left off this list that might be a little bit surprising?
Oh, man. You know, we're sports fans, so we're always out there debating and arguing. There's a bunch of people that got left off. I mean, that's what a list is for, right? To be exclusive.
Did you have any favorites that didn't make the cut?
So shout out to two people at work, Jeff and Elliot. They really wanted Kirk Cousins on the list. I'm always a Serena Williams fan.
Yeah.
And she did not make the list either this year. So it just shows you the discerning qualities we use. It was a really tough 4-month process for us.
So what I love about this is that these are people who are influential in sports. That does not mean athletes. And in particular, I want to talk a little bit about a young guy named Jerome Jones, who goes by Filet on social media. Let's play a little clip of Filet that he posted on Instagram.
Schedule that lane, tween, reverse lane.
I love this so much. So this is him. He like does this play-by-play in his own style. He was giving his play-by-play to a highlight video of Houston Rockets guard James Harden. Why did Filet make your list?
So Filet had multiple reasons to make the list. First of all, he's shaking things up. Filet is out here singing gospel to basketball highlights.
Yeah, like, why not?
Exactly. Like, who does that, right? And then he's also bossing up because he took his YouTube personality and turned it into a financial gain. He has a Nike commercial with Kyrie Irving. And
amazing.
And really what it is this authenticity. And we really pride ourselves in people who are authentic because growing up playing basketball, that's the kind of things we did. It wasn't necessarily gospel, but we narrated our own moves. You know, Hezzy, high in the back. Oh, flip it up for the layup. And so Filet took what we were already doing and brought it into the popular lexicon, and it just escalated from there.
Plus his love. I mean, this man just loves the game, and you can feel it, and it's so good that that's being honored.
Yeah, and the players really love it also. We had a couple of NBA players come through the office, and when they play on our court, they're always Filet when they do their moves.
So, to a little more sober note, I mean, you talked about activism as something that has become such a part of professional athletics these days, professional sports. Player protests we've seen in the NFL predominantly over the past few years. How has that role, these athletes becoming these more vocal activists, how has that changed their level of influence?
Yeah, so in the speak up category, that was really important to us to make sure we highlighted the people that spoke up about our political climate. LeBron James is actually the number two person in that category. We love goats who actually have a voice. We also have Eric Reed. He's one of the last men kneeling. We kind of put them all in a group because Kaepernick is not there anymore. There's still a group of men who are continuing his movement, and they're bringing light to a subject that necessarily wouldn't be seen at all times.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you to do your best Filet interpretation to go out on right now. Adina Andrews, go for it.
Hezzy, hezzy, tween, behind the back, flip it up, Filet.
So good. Adina Andrews, deputy managing editor of Bleacher Report, talking about the 50 most influential people in sports. Thanks so much, lady. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, don't you just love Adina Andrews? Much love to Rachel Martin for bringing that piece to us. And I'm a big fan of Filet. Have you seen Filet on Instagram at all, Ian? Please.
No, sir.
What?
I'm not that big into the
whole... You're younger than me, man. You're supposed to be keeping me the game, brother. But yeah, Filet is hilarious. He's one of my favorite follows on social media. Probably my favorite follow right now next to Will Smith is probably Spice Adams. But Filet is up there. Filet is definitely up there. But just to really briefly go through this list. Again, it's again Bleacher Report's top 50 most influential sports figures in sports culture, I should say. The most influential people in sports culture. And they have divvied it up into five different categories. First category, boss up. Very surprised that Jimmy G leads the pack. Jimmy Garoppolo, who is really a bright star now in the NFL. Now, don't get me wrong. Didn't Jimmy G, he's in some hot water for the whole porn star situation, right?
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, he went out, you know, to dinner with a porn star, and he got a lot of negative press about it. But you know, they're saying the caption underneath Jimmy G is Tom Brady is yesterday's news. Meet the new boss. So Jimmy G leads the boss up section. And I guess the boss up section are just athletes who are basically coming out the woodworks and really surprising the sports world. So that's the boss up section. Athletes or figures, I should say, because Filet is number 9 on that list. LaVar Ball has made this list at number 10. I kid you not. And it's really hard to argue because this dude, LaVar Ball, hate him as much as you want. LaVar Ball has found a way to stay relevant. And he's got 3 sons who are pretty good at basketball. You know, depending on who you ask, right? That's debatable, too. You know, Lonzo, get that jump shot together, brother. But Lonzo, you know, just the Ball family. I mean, they got a Facebook show. You know, I saw LaVar in commercials. I mean, when he speaks, people listen for some reason, right? I don't get it, but hey. Becky Hammon, the best NBA coach for our imperfect world is how she's labeled here. She's number 2. You have Virgil Abloh. I don't know who that is. He's a kid from Chicago who broke down the barrier between streetwear and the runway. So he's a fashion icon, I guess. Supreme, also another fashion icon today. Martellus Bennett comes in at number 5. Number 6 is Sean Wotherspoon.
Not sure who he is either. There's a lot of names over here. I'm like, who are these names? But they're influential in sports culture. The Shake It Up section. So I guess that the Shake It Up section is basically, you know, about, you know, different figures. Again, they don't have to all be athletes here, but are basically groundbreakers when it comes to the sporting culture avenue. And Meek Mill, rapper Meek Mill, comes in at number one there. Many believe that he was unjustly incarcerated for as long as he was due to his probation violation, and he's trying to speak out against, you know, unnecessarily harsh rulings in the courtroom, especially as it pertains to minorities. And he really became a big, big name in the sporting world. He's from Philly. He's a big 76ers fan. And when he got out of prison, Kevin Hart flew him out to the game immediately, and he actually rung the bell, the customarily rung bell before the Philadelphia game in the playoffs. So Meek Mill comes in number one there. Number two on that list is FaZe Clan, the esports crew. Esports is becoming big now. Drake is on this list as well. You got Lamar Jackson, former quarterback at Louisville, on that list. Then you have the Level Up section. The Level Up section is, and I wish they really had a clearly defined on the website, a clearly defined definition about what each of these sections really, really mean. Game changers who level up on the field, I guess. So the Level Up section leading the pack there is Cristiano Ronaldo. You also have Chloe Kim, the famous Olympian from the Winter Olympics, on that list as well. You have Aaron Judge, who comes in number seven. Sylvia Foles, who is the most dominant center in basketball. Asia Wilson, who also was a WNBA player. So Russell Westbrook comes in at number nine on that list. And you have the Speak Up section. You know, athletes who are, you know, speaking up for change in the world today. Allie Raisman. Of course, she has been very vocal during the whole Larry Nassar scandal. You know, she spoke and finished out the Arthur Ashe Courage Award speeches during the ESPYs last week. But she leads the pack there. Of course, LeBron James, who's always vocal when it comes to hot button political issues. Who else is on this list for the Level Up section? You have Kevin Love. That's a surprise. I didn't know Kevin Love was going to make that list, but Kevin Love is also on that list. And then last but not least, you have the Glow Up section, I guess the up-and-comers of the sporting culture world. And Donovan Mitchell, who could have been playing for the Detroit Pistons, he leads the pack there at number one. Victor Oladipo is also on that list. Victor Oladipo of the Indiana Pacers. And also Arike Ogunbowale, who is really the new definition of clutch, hitting not one but two buzzer-beating wins to spearhead her college basketball team to Notre Dame's national championship. So very cool stuff there. So we'll debate. I got some issues with the list here and there. We'll talk more about that on tomorrow's show. But until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.